So many times, a skinny guy will say he wants to start lifting weights, but he's afraid to start lifting weights because he thinks he's going to get too big. And I usually tell him, you know, don't worry about it, because it doesn't just happen all at once. But you're either going to get bigger or you're going to get smaller. And weightlifting, it's the same with your walk with the Lord. You can't stand still and stay in one spot. You're either going to go backwards or you're going to go forward, serving our King. And so I would like to see, and I think most of us here would agree, I would like to see Trinity Bible Fellowship moving forward in spiritual warfare, invading our community with the love and the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I started thinking about it. What are we going to need? What needs to change most of all for us to do that? And what dawned on me was that we need an extremely radical... I mean, they should... Radical isn't even a radical enough word for it. I mean, they should invent a new word for Paul's attitude concerning evangelism. I mean, this guy, his mission field was the entire world, the entire Roman Empire. But if Trinity Bible Fellowship is going to do what the church in the book of Acts did and turn our community, turn our world upside down, we're only going to do it if we share Paul's attitude concerning evangelism. The days of mediocrity are behind us. Paul says, lay your past behind and press forward to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We need to be all that God called us to be. But to do so, we're going to need to have Paul's attitude concerning evangelism. Evangelism just means sharing the gospel with others. It comes from the Greek word that means good news. The good news of salvation through Jesus alone. Sometimes before people hear the good news, you got to make sure they know the bad news. The bad news is we're all sinners. We can't save ourselves. We deserve the flames, the eternal flames of hell, and only through Jesus can we be saved. But the good news is salvation through Jesus Christ alone. And so what I want us to do right now is to take a look into Paul's writings. Let's take a look at Romans 1. Romans 1, verses 13 to 17. And we're going to see Paul's attitude concerning evangelism. Just take a look at verses 14 and 15 first. And I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you. You see, Paul wanted to visit the Christians who were in Rome and have been prevented thus far, in order that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. So he wanted to lead some of the Gentiles in Rome to Jesus, as he had led Gentiles all over the world to Christ. Verse 14, he says, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Basically what he's saying is, I'm under obligation to preach the gospel message to as many people as possible. If you're the type of person who underlines in your Bible, I have some Bibles I don't underline in, and I have other Bibles that I do underline. If you got a Bible that you underline in, you might want to underline those first four words of verse 14, I am under obligation. Paul felt obligated to preach the gospel. If the Apostle Paul is right, and of course he is, because God inspired him to record his word without error, the fact of the matter is, then, evangelism is not an option. As your pastor, I am not asking you, do you feel like going out and evangelizing? Do you feel like talking to your friends at work about Jesus? Do you feel like talking to your neighbors about Jesus? This is for real. Our walk with Jesus, that's the number one thing going. And the fact of the matter is, evangelism is our duty. It is not an option. Symbolically speaking, the church, of course, is all true believers. But let's just picture the church as a building, which it really isn't. The church is all true believers. Put a sign out front. God never has a sign that says no vacancy. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of all mankind. He wants all men to come to him. He wants all to repent and come to the knowledge of truth. Never has a no vacancy sign, but there is a sign that would be out there on the front door of that church. And that sign would read, no spectators allowed. No spectators allowed. It's not an option. It's the duty of every Christian to share our faith. Jesus commanded us to share our faith with others. Look at Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. This is the Great Commission, the mission of the church. This is our battle plan. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let me say something. There's a lot of Lone Ranger Christians who like to serve the Lord, but they don't go to church. They get in their own ministry, they don't go to church, and they don't lead people into other churches. Well, the fact of the matter is, after you lead people to Christ, they need to get baptized, and then they need to be taught all the teachings of Jesus, all the teachings of the Scriptures. So basically, our end goal is not just to lead a person to Christ, but then to also get them into a Bible-believing church where they can grow in their walk with the Lord. But Jesus told us, He sent us, but He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He knew the apostles might say what Phil Fernandez would have thought of saying. I would have said, hey, maybe I'm the wrong guy for the job. I'm not capable. I don't have the ability to share the gospel message, and I'm not real persuasive or whatever. And Jesus answered the question before it was even mentioned. He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In other words, yeah, Phil Fernandez is insufficient. Phil Fernandez is inadequate. There are some problems that are bigger than Phil Fernandez. But the God that Phil Fernandez serves, He's bigger than any problem that I could ever face or that you could ever face. Our problems may be bigger than us, but our God is bigger than any problem that may come across. So the fact of the matter is, Jesus Christ is with us, empowering us, leading us and guiding us. And so He says to go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. But we go, not in our power, not in our strength, but we go in His strength. And so evangelism is not an option. It's the duty of every Christian. Paul said, we don't have time to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians 9:16, he said, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. The apostle Paul couldn't even imagine living, breathing air and living without preaching the gospel. Once he got saved, once he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, he could never ever be the same. And he could not imagine life without sharing Jesus with others. Acts 4:31 tells us that the early church, they were filled with the Spirit, and they began to proclaim God's word with boldness. You might be a shy person, not very bold, but that's okay. The Holy Spirit can empower you and will empower you to share His gospel message with others if you rely on His strength. But I want us to look at Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33. If you don't remember anything else that we're going to talk about today, or we talked about it earlier, if you don't remember anything else, remember the fact that evangelism is not an option for the Christian. Evangelism is the duty of every Christian. Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33. Everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever shall deny me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. It's real clear. The sign of a true believer, there's many signs. One of them, he's going to bear good fruit. True saving faith will produce good works. We're not saved by works, but true saving faith will produce good works. But one of the signs is that we're going to share our faith with others. Doesn't mean that you have to be the clone of Billy Graham. God has blessed Billy Graham with a mighty ministry, and he's preached the gospel message to millions upon millions of people. But maybe there's five or six people that God wants you talking to right now, and you're not doing it. The sign of a true believer, one of the signs of a true believer, is they confess Jesus before other men. They acknowledge that Jesus is their Lord and Savior before other people. And Jesus says, He is going to confess us before His Father. When it comes time, when you stand before God, you're standing there in your filthy rags, your own righteousness is filthy rags before the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to acknowledge you and confess you before his Father and say, hey, this guy trusted in me for salvation. Sure, he deserves the flames of hell, but my righteousness was credited to his account. I took his sin. I paid for it. And because Christ confesses us before the Father, we go to heaven. And so we need to confess. It's not an option. It is the sign of a true believer. It is the duty of every Christian to evangelize. But not only was it Paul feel that he was obligated, when you turn back to Romans 1, we also find that it brought Paul great joy to share the gospel message with others. Look at verse 15 of Romans chapter 1. Thus, for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. I am eager to preach. So in verse 14, I would underline, I am under obligation. Verse 15, I would underline, I am eager to preach. Now, we've all been there. You know, I used to, my first job besides a paper route, I had a paper route from the time I was 12 till I was 16. My first job where I actually had to work for other people, I worked in Carvel ice cream stores, kind of like the Dairy Queens. And I used to have to mop the floors. And it was my duty to mop the floors. And, you know, with the sprinkles there, it was a real tough job, to say the least. But and then I got to wash dishes, and it was just a great job. And that's back when the minimum wage was like something like $1.35 an hour or something like that. So they were probably paying me $1.45, throwing a dime for seniority. But I'd go into that place, and I mopped those floors and washed those dishes because it was my duty. But I was not eager to wash those dishes or mop the floors. Sometimes what your duty is not real desirable. But if you love Jesus, if Jesus is your best friend, if you really believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and that he saved you, he died so that you can live, then not only is it your duty to share the gospel message with others, but you will agree with the Apostle Paul, it will be one of your greatest pleasures in life will be to share your faith with others. You will be eager to preach the gospel message. Paul's greatest joy was to serve Jesus. Pastor Belleville, the former pastor of Bremerton Bible Church years ago, I'd gone to his church for 2 years before I started a church. He stated this, and I memorized it. As soon as the words were out of his mouth, it just hit me right between the eyes. He said, you know, philosophers have looked for the true meaning of life throughout all time, but it wasn't a great Greek philosopher who said this. It was just a Bible-believing preacher, Pastor Belleville, and he said this. He said, the true meaning of life is to know Jesus and to make him known. The true meaning of life is to know Jesus and to make him known. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He says he is the life. You know what that means? It means outside of Jesus, his only death. Jesus is it. In him and in him alone is life. Paul was eager to preach. He couldn't keep it in. He couldn't keep it in. That God would save the greatest persecutor the church had ever known. How could he not go out and share that gospel message? The message of a God who loves sinners living in rebellion against him, and God still loves us. Even the Apostle Paul, who hated the church, was persecuting the church, and God loved them all the same. How could Paul keep it in? He was eager to preach the gospel. So he was obligated to preach the gospel. He was eager to preach the gospel. And then verses 16 and 17 of Romans chapter 1, Paul was not ashamed to preach the gospel. And just as I asked you to underline, I am under obligation in verse 14, and I am eager to preach in verse 15, I would recommend that you underline, if you have a Bible that you underline in, I am not ashamed in verse 16. The verses 16 and 17 read, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Paul was not ashamed to preach the gospel. for two reasons. One is verse 16, the other is verse 17. In verse 16 he says, hey, I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel because it is the power of God to save sinners. How could he be ashamed of that? We could be ashamed of our sinfulness, but how could Paul possibly be ashamed of the power of God to be able to save godless sinners like you and I? Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God to save. But he also said he's not ashamed to preach the gospel, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. Now he talks about from faith to faith. Basically what he's talking about, from saving faith. See, he says, Habakkuk 2:4, he quotes, the just shall live by faith. Well, the just become just not by works, but by faith. So they're saving faith, and then they'll live by faith, living faith. Saving faith, when you put your trust in Jesus, you're declared righteous by God, even though you're still sinful. And then living faith, you begin to live righteous lives through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. But when Paul says he's not ashamed to preach the gospel, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed, what he's talking about is the power of God to transform lives. He said, I can't be ashamed of the good news, because in it is the power of God to save and the power of God to transform lives. And of course, no life in the history of mankind was transformed like that of the Apostle Paul. Just a couple more passages here. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is Paul. This is the last letter that Paul wrote. He was about to be beheaded. He was about to die. He was in Roman prison. And so he writes a letter to Timothy, good friend of his that Paul had instructed to be a mighty warrior for the Lord. Paul said that he was not ashamed to suffer for Jesus. Look at verse 12. Of 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. He said, you can beat me. You can whip me. You can spit on me. You can even kill me. You can behead me. But you'll never make me ashamed of the carpenter from Nazareth, because I know him personally. I know he saved me, and I know he keeps me. Maybe the world will knock me around and defeat me in the flesh, but you'll never take me out of the palm of his hand. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to guard my life, what I have entrusted to him, until that day in which he returns from heaven in power and in glory. Go ahead and hit me, Paul would say. I'm not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never make me ashamed of him. 2 Corinthians 5:15, Paul tells us, it says, and he, meaning Jesus, and he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. We should not be ashamed to live for Jesus. He wasn't ashamed to die for us. By the way, what's the most shameful death in the history of mankind? It would be the execution of a criminal. Well, what's the most shameful way for a criminal to be executed? To be naked on a cross for all the world to see. The Lord Jesus Christ took our shame for us. By the way, you look, do a study on the word shame in the scriptures. Adam and Eve, when God created them, they were perfect. They were naked and they were not ashamed. There was nothing to hide. They were perfect. There was no blemishes. Genesis 2:25, they were naked and not ashamed. As soon as they sinned, they took fig leaves to cover themselves. God saw the fig leaves wouldn't last too long, so he killed animals in their presence, most likely, and he covered them with animal skins, Adam and Eve. That's the only reason why human beings wear clothes, by the way. Don't tell me it's because it's cold outside, because you can watch animals, whether it's in the heat or the coldness. Animals are always naked. The only time you see an animal, a dog wearing a sweater, is just because the owner puts the sweater on it. The dog don't want it on there. But if it's too cold for you in Washington State, then, you know, go move somewhere like Florida where it's warm all year round. But we're not going to walk around naked because we're ashamed of who we are. We've got something to hide. We've got something to hide because we are shameful people. We are fallen. And therefore, our sins need to be covered. But Paul was also mentioned up something else. It gets a little off track, but I do want to mention it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Here's another aspect. He's not ashamed of the gospel, and therefore he's not ashamed to preach the gospel. But maybe you're saying out there, hey, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. But the reason why I can't share my faith is because I'm ashamed of who I am. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent. Diligent means hardworking. Be diligent. Diligent is a word you don't hear too much of anymore. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. Let me tell you something. If you're pulling verses out of context and you don't know what you're talking about and you're not studying the word, you ought to be ashamed of sharing the gospel. Not ashamed of Jesus, but you ought to be ashamed of the fact that God wrote you a love letter and you didn't spend enough time with your face in the book making sure that you're preaching His truth and not your own faulty interpretations of His truth, not your perversions of His truth. But Paul was not ashamed to preach the gospel because it was the power of God to save. It was the power of God to transform lives. Paul was not ashamed to suffer for Jesus. Jesus was his best friend. Jesus laid down his life for Paul, and so Paul was willing to lay down his life for Jesus. You know, when I was in the eighth grade, we had this at St. Al's High School, Catholic, St. Al's Grammar School, Catholic Grammar School back in Jersey. We had this car wash to raise money for some whatever it was that eighth graders would do. We were in this car wash, and I was a real quiet kid at the time. I know it might be hard to understand, but I was actually shy as a kid. During this car wash, we were washing cars, and I was having so much fun with all my friends washing these cars. And then finally, John DeMasi, this Italian kid, well, they were all Italians, he looked up and he started laughing. He said, look at that filthy car. And you see this little tiny car coming from way on the boondocks. You could see the dust from like a quarter of a mile away. So everybody starts laughing and everything laughing. Somebody comes up, pats me in the back, says, hey, Fernandez, turn around, you got to see how filthy this car is. And so I started laughing, and I look, and here comes my father pulling up in his car. If you want to know how dirty it was, just take a look at my car and make it twice as bad. You know, he'd never get the car washed. He just figured, well, hey, my son's doing a car wash. I'll go, you know, pull the car up and pay the $2, you know, make him feel good. So there everybody was laughing at my dad as that car was pulling up. And for years from that day, I always thought to myself, I was so shy and I'd get embarrassed real easy. How come I did not feel ashamed at all? I mean, it never even entered my mind to feel ashamed. There's a lot of worms out there now, spineless wonders who never amount to anything. They think their whole role in life is to make babies and then let the ladies take care of them or welfare take care of them. And a lot of spineless wonders and deadbeat dads all over the place. And maybe you don't think I'm a successful man or whatever and stuff like that, but I've done pretty good compared to a lot of other guys. But let me tell you, I didn't have an excuse. I'm probably one of the very few people today that could honestly say without lying that my pop was, you know, probably the greatest man I ever met face to face. He was a tough man when he needed to be tough, but he was a loving man at all times. And he never, you know, I told some guy once that he never used to hug me and tell me, he never even told me he loved me. And somebody told me, oh, I feel so sorry for you. And I told him, why? I mean, his love just permeated his guy. I mean, he'd work hard. He'd work overtime. He'd work 7 days a week if he had to. He took good care, and I always knew I was loved. And so all my friends, my whole world can laugh at my dad when my pop was coming in, driving in that dirty, filthy car. And they could all laugh at him. It didn't make me ashamed one bit. I could never be ashamed of my pop. He took care of me when I was little. He stuck up for me. He taught me right from wrong. I could never be ashamed of him because I love him so much. That's the way Paul was with Jesus. There's no excuse for us to be ashamed of our Lord Jesus. The world can mock. You serve a dead Savior. No, we don't serve a dead Savior. Kyle was right, hit the nail right on the head. We serve a risen Savior. But yes, he did die a shameful death because that was our shame that was placed upon him on that tree when he voluntarily died for us. And so we, like the Apostle Paul, should never be ashamed to preach the gospel. In conclusion, we're obligated to share our faith. It is our duty. You do not have an option here. God called you to share your faith. Now we've got to start thinking, how are you going to share your faith? Find opportunities to share your faith with other people. We are obligated to share our faith. It is our duty. Number two, we should be eager to preach the gospel. If you love Jesus, you should love the gospel because Jesus is the gospel. Jesus is the good news. Let me tell you, we're living in a bad news world, and the only good news is named Jesus. We should be eager to preach the gospel, and we should never, ever be ashamed to preach the gospel. It's the power of God to save, and it's the power of God to transform lives. If the Lord Jesus Christ could take the biggest persecutor the church ever knew, the Apostle Paul, and turn him into the greatest evangelist the church has ever known, then you should never be ashamed of the gospel, because through it, God has the power to transform lives. He wants to transform Bremerton. He wants to transform our community, and he's calling on the churches to do it. God didn't call us to a picnic. He's called us to a war. And if we're going to stand up for Jesus, we're going to need to recognize that our duty is to share our faith. We should be eager to do it, and we should not be ashamed of the gospel. Let's close with a word of prayer.